Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
Sinaran.
Yes.
Mandari.
Okay, don't give it away. Don't give it away. We've been waiting an awful long time to have this particular guest come in the studio.
Oh, boy.
And she swung by today. Who have we got, Adeline?
We've got Dato' Sheila Majid.
Finally, she's here with us in the studio in just a couple of minutes with her entourage following her around. I think there must be 50 people. No, of course not. There's just a few
it's
of them.
Just five, lad.
There's about five of them, yeah. But I want to talk to her about her new album, of course, the concert that she's got coming up. I don't want to touch too much on her past, but I'm going to ask her a few questions about, you know, how she got started and one thing or another. Of course, I need to do that. Most Malaysians have already done that. I'm not in that position. I need to get a bit of history about
That's right. She's also having a concert on 5th of August.
Yes.
Which is a big concert for
it
her
is.
Fans.
We want something special, don't we?
Now, do.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Sheila Majid. You're listening to That Time of Night on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Adeline Chung.
We're joined in the studio by Sheila. Say hello.
Hi, everybody.
Caught you off guard there, Sheila. What are you doing?
I'm actually looking through my Boneka cover just in case if you ask me questions about it and, you know, I already know the answers, right?
As if I'd do that. I mean, as if I would ask you questions about your new album. I wouldn't do that.
You won't. I'm so disappointed.
Of course I am.
I'm here to promote the album, Richard.
That's the entire point of me getting you in here. Now, I said to Adeline, there are very few people, very few Malaysian artists that have gone on to do things outside of Malaysia and people outside of Malaysia talk about them. Right? There are very few, and I can count them literally on one hand. Mm-hmm. You're one of them, obviously, right? How proud are you to have achieved that?
Actually, the word is not proud. I am just so grateful that the music that I do has transcends all race and also all age boundaries. I mean, I think music is universal.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of taste. You know, there's no bad or good music. It's whether you like it or not.
Right.
And somehow or other, even though I've been singing, you know, all my albums are in Malay, but it has also attracted people, non-Malay speaking people to listen to it. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. There's a little change with this album though. There's an English song on it, right?
Yeah, you know why? Because this is the first time I am not under any label.
Right.
This is the first album that I'm doing on my own, financing on my own. And I've got fans that have been wanting me to sing in English.
Right.
But you know, being the person that I am, if I were to do an English album, it's got to be on par with whatever that's out there internationally. I'm not just going to do covers or just for the sake of doing an English album, just produce one, you know. So that's going to take a lot of money. So I got to be realistic on that. But I thought, okay, lah, with this album, since I have total creative control to it and maybe, you know, I got a great song from Najwa Mahidin. It's an original song. It's not a cover. And so I decided to do one English song, fit it in this album, just for the fans that have been wanting to hear me sing in English.
I heard you took 3 years to source the right songs for your album, Boneka.
Yes.
3 years.
Yes. I am someone very meticulous in that sense. Maybe my husband calls it fussy. But come on, you know.
But this it's good is, to be fussy. La.
Yeah, this is my rice bowl.
Right.
And I've got to bring out a product that I would like before I can even give it to my fans.
Yeah.
And from what I learned is through my gut feelings, whatever I like, my fans like.
Right.
Even from the very beginning, you know, when we did the first album, Demensi Baru, a lot of people say, oh no, you shouldn't be doing this way. This is not commercial enough. And if I had listened to all these people, I don't think I would be here today.
Exactly.
32 years later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so I trusted my gut in selecting the songs. And that part is the hardest part. I mean, I got 100 over songs that were given to me. But when I listened to it, it's not bad. It's just that I felt that it was suitable for other singers.
Right.
This suits this singer. There was nothing for me. And out of the 100 over songs, I only managed to get 4.
Mm.
And after that, you got stuck.
Mm. Right. I mean, yeah. We interviewed Najwa not too long ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she indicated, but wouldn't say exactly what she'd contributed. But we kind of got an idea.
Right.
And so we were really looking forward to hearing it. Now, my question is, why of all that, you say you had 100 songs given to you, you know, why of all did that one stick out for you and say, this is one that I want?
Because I like it. In fact, actually, when the 100 songs were given to me, I did not know who wrote them.
Right. Mm.
Because I told my management, okay, let's tell everybody I'm looking for songs for a new album, and they send it to the management. And when the management gives it to me, I said, don't tell me who wrote them.
Mm.
So I chose my songs in accordance. I'm a big melody person, and right. It's got to have great melodies. You know, like today, songs are all about the beats.
Yeah.
And melodies don't stand out.
Yeah.
And that's why they are not memorable.
Yeah.
It's not like what it was in the 80s
before. Right.
I'm an old school person, you know. And somehow or other, it was all about the beat, all about the beat. I was like, where's the melody? So, and it was more suitable to other singers. So it took me a long time. But when Najwa came out with that, I immediately knew what I was going to do with it, you know. And I said, okay, this is going to be that one English song that we will produce for this album.
Okay, we're going to take a very short break. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hi, I'm Sheila Majid. You're listening to That Time of Night on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
We are joined by
Sheila Majid.
She's
hello.
Here. Hello. Now, Sheila, so what happened in the 13 years since you released an album?
Okay. The last time I released an album was in 2004. Mm. And then after that, somehow or other, the music industry became, you know, it went downwards.
Mm. Yep.
It was very difficult to do albums. You know, people were going digital and everyone's just downloading for free. So I just felt like, what's the point of doing an album when you do not get your investment back?
People can just get it for free.
Exactly, you know. So what's the point? And when I do shows, people want to hear my old songs, which is Sinaran and Anya Jakarta. So I thought, okay, no need to do an album anymore. I'm just going to go on and perform, do my live performances, you know, private functions, which is what I've been doing for the past 13 years anyway. But 2 years ago, I celebrated my 30th anniversary in this industry. And I thought, like, you know, I want to give something back to my fans who have been supporting me, you know, even though there was no new product, but they've always been there for me.
Mm.
And the fans have been growing.
Mm.
And so that's when I thought, okay, let me do this album. And it took me 3 years. It was supposed to come out 2 years ago for my 30th anniversary, right? But because we were stuck with getting the right songs.
Yeah.
So 3 years later, only we managed to release Boneka. But this is actually a gift.
Right.
A gift for my fans, wherever they are in the world. Because I do get people from abroad, you know, writing to me, emailing me, saying that, you know, whenever I feel sad or lonely, or during Hari Raya, when I miss home so much, I always play your albums, and they keep me and the songs keep me company.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh,
that's a nice thought.
You know, yeah.
But I mean, it took you 3 years to come up with the album Boneka. But what was the feel that you were looking for within that 3 years?
Well, I was going to stick to the same genre that I've been doing for the past 30 years anyway, because the fans like it and I'm comfortable with it. But like I said, I'm a big person on melodies.
Mm.
And it's got to have a strong melody, because when your songs have strong melodies and it's memorable, then it's going to stick.
Yeah.
Mm. It's going to stay evergreen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's very important for me. I'm not the sort to just bring out an album just to win awards or, you know, things like that. Because I feel that that's not what art is all about.
Mm.
You got to feel it. It's got to move you.
Mm.
You know, and especially music. You know, sometimes you look at a movie and the car is just going through the bridge, but the soundtrack is the one that moves you to tears.
Yeah.
And that is what people have forgotten.
I think so. I think you're exactly right.
Mm.
I mean, like you say, the music industry has changed. The way in which we consume music has changed.
Yeah.
Now, I listened to your new album today, and it does sound very different. I don't mean it in terms of style. In terms of production,
yeah.
It sounds very different.
Yeah.
It sounds bolder. It sounds louder. You know, was that a conscious decision that you made?
I work very closely with the producers of this album, and in fact, actually, most of them are fans and they totally understand my direction and we were all in the same synergy. And so that was easy. And yes, you know, they do tell me that we cannot sound like what we sound like, what I sounded 20 years ago. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. Right.
So basically, they've got to add new sounds in it, but not run away from the Sheila Majid sound. And yeah, you know, I had a total control in it. I mean, I don't really know how to tell them technically, you know, on the musical term, on how I want it to sound. But, you know, when they send me the arrangements, then I can tell them, hey, you know what? I prefer the guitar to sound like Austin Powers, like what you get in Boneka. You know, I can't tell them, like, what is that? What? It's called Wah Wah.
Right, right.
But that's what you collaborated with Indonesian songwriter and guitarist Topati.
Topati, yes. Basically, I was stuck with the four songs. Then I had to do a concert last year to commemorate my 30th year in Indonesia. And he was the musical director. So he's like, wait, what's happening to your album? And I told him what was going on. And he said, yeah, I sent you four songs. You rejected it.
Really?
So his songs were also in the 100 over songs that were sent. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I said, I'm going to go back and listen to them again. But when I listened to it again, I said, I still don't like it. And he laughed. So then he said, okay, he's also another one that persevered. So I think he kind of know from the concert the direction that I want, because I really love his arrangements in the concert. He made my sound, my music, the song Warna and all those songs sound like so fresh, even though he didn't really run away from the whole gist of the song.
Right.
And I think he sort of understood that's what I want. So that's when I worked closely with him. And yeah, we worked through emails. I mean, because we were in two foreign countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm very satisfied with his work. I say, yes, this is it. This is the direction that I want to go.
So in the time that you've been away in terms of like releasing music, what kind of stuff have you been consuming? What have you been listening to? Because it must have come through a little bit.
Well, I love the Daft Punk album. You know, I love Justin Timberlake. I love Bruno Mars, although he sounds a bit old school, but he's still now.
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah, you know? So these, I mean, and my influences are still people like Stevie Wonder. You know, I love Luther Vandross. I love The Temptations. I love Motown.
Motown is my favorite.
I know.
Every time, that's what I always go to.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. That's where I fall back to, you know? I love.
You're having a bad day, you put Motown
on. Yes, Jackson 5.
Yeah, for sure.
Supremes, yeah? So that's how I'm very much influenced by that, by them. Even from the very beginning, Demensi Baru, when I did my first album, I wanted something that I can deliver. You know, I'm not going to do Malay pop just because it's selling at that time, because I know I will not excel. You know, it's just doing it on the commercial value part.
Did you fall out of love with music for a while, do you think?
I fell out of love with music for a while when it was all about the beats and the lyrics don't make sense, you know, like boom, boom, pow and things like that. Sorry, I mean, not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm old school.
We totally know what you mean.
Yeah, lyrics has to have a message, you know, like, you know, you need to transcend something. Like, you know, when you listen to the Supremes and all that, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Their music makes sense. The lyrics make sense. You know?
I mean, I think to anybody who's never listened to Superstition, for example, you know, you put that song on to somebody who's never heard it, and it alters their life. You know, they just sit, what is this? You know, what's that instrument? Groove behind it is something moving. It's not just, you know, four bars of bumps, bumps. It's something special.
Yes. You know. And you know, Mama Say, Mama Sa, Mama Kusa. Rihanna did that. And my children were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, wait a minute.
Yeah. Have a listen to this.
This is not new.
Right.
And they said, what do you mean, Mom? I said, this is not new. This is from Michael Jackson. Now listen to this. And they were like, oh, wow. I said, all these things are just being re-recorded and, you know, they cut and paste and put in their music.
They sample it.
Exactly. And I don't know. I don't really appreciate that. Yeah. So at one point, I wasn't listening to any music. You know, I was still listening to Patti Austin and Stevie Wonder and Earth, Wind & Fire. All the people that I love till today.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in a similar situation for the last couple of years. I wasn't finding that passion for music that I used to have. And I've been in the music industry one way or another, or radio, for a very long time, you know. Mm-hmm. And that used to be the one thing that I could fall back on. It would be,
exactly.
I'll have a listen to something special, or I'll listen to something new. And then for a while, there was nothing that excited me at all.
Yeah, you're so right. Because, you know, when I'm driving from my house to my destination and I switch on the radio, there's nothing memorable.
No. There is not.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sad situation to find ourselves
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Right?
And this is the thing. The new generation thinks that that's the way to go.
Mm.
So do you educate your kids?
They have been exposed to that kind of style. Sorry?
Do you educate your kids in terms of music?
Of course, I do. Because, you know, I don't want them to go boom, boom, pow. And there's another artist my daughter was listening to, and she had one word from beginning till the end. You know?
Right,
and it's not a nice word.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? This is not art. You know, you don't even have to think. There's not there's not a lot of thought put into it. You know, but unfortunately, this is what the young generation is being exposed to. And then they have no reference.
Mm. Right.
Like for us, we had that reference, music from the 80s. I mean, if you talk about the 60s, Beatles, they write beautiful songs.
Mm.
Meaningful.
You know, meaningful, you know.
But we got to remember that, you know, the Beatles back then, they were on the cusp of something new. You know, they were creating something new, weren't they?
And now
that's
a bit rebellious too.
They started off all kind of schoolboy with a nice, and then they became rock and roll.
Their lyrics.
Right, and that's what.
Yeah.
And that's where we're losing touch.
Exactly.
It's the lyrical content, I think, has been thrown out of the window.
True.
Right. Yeah. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, of course, we'll be talking about the concert coming up on the 5th of August. A little bit about that.
Yep.
We'll be right back after these messages. Do not go anywhere, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Sheila Majid. You're listening to That Time of Night on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm Sheila Majid.
She is. We haven't scared her off yet. She's
not
with us all
yet.
The way through till 10 p.m. this evening. Now, before we move on to talk about your concert, we spoke a little bit about your album. Mm-hmm. You've been in the news quite recently. You've been quite outspoken, in a good way. You know, tell us your opinion here. You know, because you said something about we have
too many shopping
too
malls.
Too many shopping malls.
Yeah.
I agree with you on
exactly
that. Right.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, right now where the Malaysian music industry is concerned, there's no platform for the younger generation to sharpen their skills. Mm. I had my training in the 80s. We had All That Jazz, and we had, you know, Planet Hollywood. Mm. And, you know, when you keep performing, that is when you start, you know, with the experience. You will sharpen your skills. You'll be able to interact with audience. And it's sad to say the younger generation do not have that today.
Right.
Okay, basically, they are asked to perform on TV and it's like a variety show, or if it's a campaign or an awareness thing. That's all they have, the platform. So to me, it's like, come on, you know, I see so many shopping malls being erected today. Why do we need so many shopping malls with the same shops?
Yeah. Mm.
Already our ringgit is so bad. I mean, we have no money. We have no means to spend.
We don't have coins to rub together.
Exactly, you know. And so enough of the shopping malls. What we need is, you know, like platforms, venues for, you know, let's put it where let's make it a wholesome family thing where people can take their children to watch their favorite band, go out at 8 o'clock and go home at 10. Why must we always associate music with nightclubs, with smoke, with alcohol? And therefore, it gives a very bad image to music.
Yeah.
Music is not bad, you know? And the other thing also, I'm just thinking like, besides that, you know, we need the government's support on this, and not everyone is academically inclined.
Yeah.
And just because you're not academically inclined doesn't mean you're a failure.
Yeah. Mm.
We need to look into other aspects of where the strength of the child, the youth is.
Culture comes from art.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, now everything is about entertainment. Everything is like ha ha hoo hoo. You know, they forgot that music is art.
Yeah.
You know, and we have a lot of raw talent today. And for example, and even parents, I want to tell you, stop telling your children to get straight A's. Because they may not be academically inclined. Mm. And then because they don't get straight A's, they think they're a failure. And that their self-esteem will just go down.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You as parents, I'm not academically inclined, but I'm so happy that my parents actually allowed me to go into the arts, and then I excel.
Yeah.
So if you know what your child's interest is and where her strength lies, that's what you should pursue.
It's what you should be nurturing.
Exactly. Mm-mm. And today I see, you know, I mean, not to be disrespectful, but you have people with PhDs, I mean, with really high qualifications, but they're unethical. We are so into straight A's. We even forgot to build the good characters in the child.
Mm. There's IQ, but there's no EQ.
There's no civics in school either.
Yeah. Mm.
But you know, they forget. And there's no music as a subject in school.
Yeah.
They forget.
At all anymore?
No, not at all.
Really?
Really. There's no civics and there's no music.
Wow.
It's all about getting straight A's. Okay? And these kids are also stressed. Because there's tuition and all this kind of nonsense that they have to go through.
Curriculums, everything.
It's just a competition between the parents. And I don't think that is fair. And you know, they forget music is art. And music moves emotion. And music can make you a compassionate person. Mm-hmm. You know, it can actually give you... it can actually give you... And you know, when you sit down and you listen to music, it can actually break some kind of arrogance in you. Humility. These are the things that we need to nurture in a human being, not just straight A's. And then be a doctor. I mean, sorry to say, be a doctor. You go to the doctor and they just say, operate.
Yeah.
And then they give you the bill.
Or they just give you 30 pills that you don't need.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So what happened to ethics? What happened to morals? And what happened to good character?
Mm.
And this is something that we should look into and nurture. Not just straight A's. I mean, how many engineers, architects and doctors do you need in your country? There are, I mean, you know, there are other angles. There are other things that we need here.
I mean, you're right. Yeah. I mean, I set up the show at the beginning, you know, by saying there's so few Malaysian artists that have gone overseas and achieved overseas. This is precisely the point, and this is why.
Follow your dreams.
But, I mean, to go back to some of the things you were talking about how some of the younger artists have got nowhere to be nurtured and this, that, and the other. I mean, you look at the reason behind that. You look at stuff like these reality TV shows, for example.
Yeah.
You look at the rise of YouTube, for example. You know, they make up a few videos. They think like 30, 40,000 views has made them famous.
Exactly.
And they have no idea the hard work that goes into performing and, you know, doing concerts and all the rigmarole that has to go into the arrangement of something like that.
It's a lot of training. I mean, I always say, come on, if you're going to be famous in the social media and just in your own country, there's no, you don't, why be arrogant?
Right.
You just step out and go Singapore, no one's going to know you.
Nobody knows who you are. Yeah, it's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard work and you got to like it.
Yeah.
And you got to start from the bottom. And reality TV, I mean, it's fine basically. Yeah, TV stations want content, they want people to view. But if you're having a chef being the judge for a singer, this person is not expert in that field.
Yeah.
I mean, with due respect to the chef, unless it's a cooking competition. Okay, I mean, if you give me two houses for me to choose from, I'm not an architect or an engineer. I'm going to look at the one that's beautiful.
Right.
But how long is that going to last? I stay in it for 2 months, it probably just, you know,
fall to pieces.
Yeah. But if you give an expert, he will know. That grey house is going to hold on, you know, it's going to stay on for a long time, longevity and all that. So today, we have people who are not experts in the particular field, but giving their feedback.
Right.
Which is crazy. That is why the whole place is the whole country is in a mess.
Sheila, I love how feisty you are.
I know, I love it too.
Genuinely.
I hope I won't get into trouble.
No, you're just so in the zone.
I'm just honest.
I just love it.
This is what I like, you know, because there are so many, we've interviewed so many people who kind of gloss over and sheen over and don't want to answer, you know, and it puts us in a position because we know things are not perfect,
Yes.
And you need people like yourself to start saying it's not perfect. We need to start making adjustments.
Start voicing.
And if there's a voice as loud as yours.
I mean, I'm a taxpayer. I'm a citizen.
Right.
I have every right to say when I see things are not, you know, right.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And I do expect something to be done about it.
Yeah.
I'm too busy doing what I'm doing. I'm paying someone to do it.
Right.
So do your job.
Do your job.
Exactly.
Right. Speaking about jobs.
Okay.
We're going to move on to a concert.
Yay. Finally.
Tell me about this concert. Right. Because when I told people that I was interviewing you, in fact, we interviewed just a few days ago a lady who's going to your concert.
Mm-hmm.
She's an actress and a comedian, and she's very, very excited about going to your gig. And she said, please make it something special and memorable. What can she expect?
okay, I'm not going to say anything now, but it's definitely going to be different from all the shows that I've been doing so far. Mm-hmm. I have a great team behind me. I have IME as the organizers, and they are real concert doers. They've been bringing K-pop and artists like Iron Kwok, and they even organized Mariah Carey. And so I know that I'm in good hands. It's just that when it comes to the creative artistic control, you know, artistic creativity control, that's my department. And I'm so excited over this concert because simply because I wanna, you know, it's been a long time when I got to do this a concert in this magnitude.
You're right.
You know, and everybody has forgotten that we locals can do it too, given the right support, the right financial support. You know, we can do it. And because I keep hearing people say, "Oh, Malaysian artists, you should look at the international artists how they do things." Hey, you give me that budget, I'll show you what I can do.
Right?
Yeah, you know, here local artists, you give like so small budget, my stage also can be erected.
Right?
You know, yeah. So,
but that part of that problem though is because people say, "Got discount, got free ticket, People
that's
are
the
not
problem.
Helping out."
Yes, yes. And this is the thing, you know. Same thing with albums, and same thing with tickets. If you say that you're a fan and you love this artist, you've got to help our livelihood. We spend money to bring out the album, but if you're just going to download for free, we don't get our investment back. How do you expect us to do another good product?
Right.
And they always compare us to the international albums out there, but they're not really supporting us. So come, buy the tickets. Stop asking me for free tickets. And I must tell you guys out there, I am not in charge of tickets. So don't call me and ask for tickets.
Yeah. All right, it's happening at Stadium Negara. And that's the last time you performed your concert there in 1991, right?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I had a concert in 1991 there. And then we had the Ratu concert that was 97. Oh, yes. Then we had the Kumohon one. And then after that, it was no more. Yeah.
Right.
What's it like going back to the same place?
Oh my God, this is so nostalgic. You know? And I actually spoke to the organizers. I said the tickets must be reasonable because I want everybody to come, you know, and watch this. Because I have been performing, you know, in private functions and also fundraising events. And the tickets are expensive. You know, the one seat goes about 1,000 over, so not many people can come watch me. So this is the opportunity for us to have a big celebration on local music.
Good.
And local artists, you know, that can do a concert of international standard with the right support.
Excellent. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, just a very short talk set before we wrap up. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Sheila Majid. You're listening to That Time of Night on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
This is...
Hi, I'm Sheila Majid.
It really is Sheila Majid in the studio. I'm so excited.
We should get her to do a liner
later. And I've been talking to her all this time and I've not. It's not sunk in yet. Anyway, Sheila, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio.
My pleasure.
And like I said, to have somebody who's so honest and just speaking the truth, I think is something we need an awful lot more of, particularly from somebody who's in the arts background.
Yeah.
You know? Because arts in Malaysia is something that really, really needs work.
Exactly. Right? And I observe a lot. And all whatever I'm saying is through my experience.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to diss anyone here, you know?
Yep.
But this is my honest opinion, what's going on with the music industry.
Right.
There are people who are not experts in the field, but they also want to put in their 2 cents worth of opinion in it. And it's just going to mess things up. I don't like the fact that they politicize music. I don't like the fact that they segregate people.
Yeah.
Music is universal.
I agree.
You know, and like I said, it brings people together. It unites people. Like, for example, if you were to watch my concert August 5th, you will see they are all races.
Yeah.
All singing along. People of all walks of life and, you know, all age.
Yeah.
And that's the vehicle that brings them together. So don't say music is bad.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah,
we just need more of it.
Exactly. Yep.
So we should probably talk about ticket prices then, right?
Yes.
Now, I have an intern over here who Sheila has insisted reads out the price of the tickets.
So, go on, Laura.
Come on, Laura. Don't be shy. How much are tickets to Sheila Majid's concert? Don't be shy. Come on.
Okay, the premium tickets are 888 ringgit. VVIP is 688. VIP is 488. Category 1 is 388. Category 2 is 288. Category 3 is 188.
And
The last one is category 4, which is 98 ringgit.
There you go.
So tickets are available at www.ticketcharge.com.my.
Thank you, Laura.
Well,
sorry,
done.
What was that?
You were saying?
No problem.
Sheila, thank you for encouraging her as well. She's too quiet sometimes.
She's been sitting there throughout the interview. Right? We almost forgot her.
She's too well behaved. That's the problem. You know, we need a bit of trouble in this one. Right. Almost time for us to wrap up. So it's happening on the 5th of August, of course. Where's it happening again? Just a reminder.
Stadium Negara.
Do you want to go through the ticket prices again? No, we'll do that later.
I can just say it's from 98 ringgit. Yep. Right up to 888 ringgit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sheila, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio.
My pleasure.
Right. It has been that time of night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.